Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Great to have you with us on this Friday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Oh, the best selection of imports, domestics, microbrews. You're not going to get a better selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register in this well-laid-out store with plenty of free parking, plenty of help to get the cases out to the car, and the pickle bar is second to none. Corey knows I love the barrels, I love the dills, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Big night coming up, obviously, in high school football this evening. You got Selins Grove playing Southern Columbia tonight. That's on Eagle 107. That'll be at 7 o'clock. 6 o'clock will be the airtime. And Sean, carry on with the postgame show, the best postgame show anywhere. That's on Eagle 107 this evening. Also, it'll be Shikellamy playing at Milton. The Milton broadcast with Steve Williams and company will be on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP. And, of course, you'll hear Mike Filazzo and the Coach Dick Court right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 6:30 the airtime for each. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff for that one. And the little brown jug game tonight, which really is like a playoff game. It's Mifflinburg against Lewisburg tonight. And that's on the Valley, 100.9, 7 o'clock the kick, and 6:30 the airtime. It is senior night across the area this evening as well. And it's not just senior night for the players and the parents and the families of the football teams, but it's also senior night for the band members, senior night for the cheerleaders, senior night for the color guard. There's just so much that goes into it. There'll be a lot of emotion in the high school stadiums tonight with senior nights coming up tonight. I hope all of you enjoyed it. It's been, you know, especially for the families of the seniors. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of memories that are flowing through your heads right now about all those days and nights that you drop them off for. I don't care whether it's football practice or band practice or cheerleading practice or whatever it happened to be. And tonight will be an emotional night for a lot of people, and there'll be a lot of people justifiably recognized this evening. So it's for the players, it's for the parents, it's for the communities, and it's all coming up tonight. Now, some will advance on, even though it's the final regular season game. Some obviously are going to advance on into the playoffs that will start next week, and we'll get into that when that rolls around. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll talk with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Also on the show today, we'll have Nathan Baird for the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football. Ryan Snyder from Rivals.com, all coming up on the show today. So we're looking forward to having that and much more. And Game 3 of the World Series is tonight. Kyle Schwarber is not cleared to play in the field. So Schwarber, after DHing in Cleveland and being very effective in that role, he can only pinch hit for the next three games, which will be at Wrigley Field, the first World Series games at Wrigley Field in 71 years. But Schwarber was not cleared to play in the field. So because of that, and again, the medical staff has all the power here, and they said he can't. So since they say he can't, he won't. He will only be able to pinch hit the next three games at Wrigley. Coming up, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Steelers on a bye week with the opportunity to get Ben Roethlisberger back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle with a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Great to have everyone back here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Shikellamy football coming up this evening at 7 o'clock against Milton here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 7 o'clock, the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime with Mike Filazzo and the coach Dick Hort. Looking forward to that. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports domestic microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And, of course, they have wine coolers, water, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is outstanding. It's second to none. All at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Let's bring in now Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome. Appreciate the time, as always, on this Friday. Let's start with the Steelers. You and I both thought when we talked a week ago about Ben Roethlisberger, because of whatever healing power he has is incredible, that the bye week would be valuable and Baltimore out of the bye week might be a possibility. So on this particular Friday, Tony, what do you think the odds are right now that he might play next week?
You know, it's funny because we talked about that at first, and I thought, yeah, maybe there's a chance he'll play. And then it looked like, well, no, there's no way he's going to be back for the Baltimore game. And now it looks like there's a chance again. I guess from now on, anytime Roethlisberger gets hurt, I'm just going to say it's 50-50 that he practices tomorrow, no matter what the injury is.
Yeah.
I do think there's a chance that he that he plays. They're talking like there's a chance that he plays. Maybe more importantly, it looks like they're going to get Cameron Hayward back,
right,
and Ryan Shazier back as well. Shazier played, but he certainly wasn't to full health. So, those two guys, I don't want to say that they're more important than Roethlisberger, but the defense without them is worse than the offense without Ben or any one of those offensive players, I think. Now, all that said, I quite frankly, the Steelers didn't play that bad of a game.
I thought they played well.
Yeah, they left a lot of points on the field. They shot themselves in the foot a little bit, especially early. And that, I think, as much as anything, is the reason that they lost to the Patriots. You can't afford to miss opportunities against a good team like that. But that having been said, if they get healthy and if Ben can get back on the field, and even if he's not 100%, we know that he certainly can be good enough to give that offense a shot in the arm. Defensively, well, I just don't know that they have much if their top players are out. I think they can overcome losses a little easier on offense than they can on defense.
What did you think of Landry Jones?
Maybe his best game as a pro.
Yeah, I thought he was okay.
I think you just put it exactly how I would. And he was good. The bar for him is not very high. But if your backup quarterback can play a game like that against the Patriots, and he can do that every week, he's going to give you a shot to win games.
Yeah.
And in most cases, Steve, that's all you can expect out of your backup. Very few backup quarterbacks in this league, can play at a starter's level. But I thought Jones he played well enough for them to win. He made some mistakes here or there.
Yeah.
The interception in the end zone is the kind of mistake that you just can't make. But he overcame that and played better after that. And I don't think the reason they lost was, to be laid at the feet of Landry Jones.
No, I agree with them. I agree with that. I think it's just a case that it was laid at their feet as a loss because the better team won at this moment.
Absolutely.
I mean, the better team at this moment won.
No question. No question about that.
Right.
And I thought, rightfully so, I thought the Patriots were about 11 points better than the Steelers in that game. I thought that was exactly what the, you know, that's the final score. It was exactly what it should have been, given how these two teams performed in that game.
I still feel like Landry Jones does not, for whatever reason, doesn't find Antonio Brown enough.
And I don't know why that is. I don't know. You know, I would agree. When you have that kind of a weapon, and when you look at how much Ben Roethlisberger uses him and how much better, quite frankly, he makes Roethlisberger, you wonder, you know, why. Roethlisberger may be able to force the ball to Brown a little better than Jones can. I think that's what Jones was trying to do on the interception in the end zone.
Right.
In that respect, it's maybe hard to blame your backup quarterback for trying to force the ball to your best player.
Agreed.
I would tend to agree. I mean, you know, for whatever reason, he's not able to take advantage of Brown the way Roethlisberger is. I don't know if they're just not on the same page. You know, I think it's still true that Antonio Brown has only caught touchdown passes in the NFL from Ben Roethlisberger. He's never caught a touchdown pass from somebody else. That's an interesting stat, considering, you know, it isn't like he's played a full season with somebody other than Roethlisberger, but it's been a decent amount of starts now. You think that he would have caught a pass in the end zone from somebody that's not Ben Roethlisberger, but, you know, to me that's a very interesting stat. I don't know exactly what it means. Does it mean that Brown is made that much better by Roethlisberger being out there? You know, maybe it does. Certainly he's better, but is it that big of a difference? Maybe it is.
Right. Could very well be. You know, we'll find out as time goes. The Penguins get Crosby back. Kind of amazing, as far as I'm concerned. You know, this. I mean, to me, if it happened this soon, that means that they must be really sure about it, because they probably waited a game or two.
That's what I would think. You know, I mean, it was almost to the point where if I'm in charge, once he's cleared to play, I say, okay, we'll see you next week. You know,
right?
You know, to me, there's just no amount of time that can be construed as being too careful with Crosby with that particular injury, especially when you haven't played 10 games yet in the season. I would assume. You know, now, Steve, all that said, Crosby's one of those guys that, okay, you try to keep him off the ice if he's cleared to play. You know. If he's ready, I think it's going to be awfully hard to get him to miss a game. But that's a scary pairing of words in your Crosby concussion. You know, at this point in his career. But they said from the beginning they didn't think it was going to be anywhere near as bad. I think maybe the team and him understand a little bit better how to proceed in these cases. So they were probably extremely careful from the get-go. And they did get angry. It was presumed. It was mentioned in the Toronto press that perhaps the injury had occurred during the World Cup of Hockey. And Crosby and his agent bristled quite a bit at that suggestion. I think they took offense to the idea that at this point in his career, after all that happened to him, that he would play through a concussion. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully they were right to be offended, and no one's messing with that kind of an injury.
What do you think of the Pens so far?
Okay. You know, I think they've been okay. They've been prone to some lapses. They got hit with a little bit of an injury bug early on in the season. Nothing too severe, you know, thankfully, but they had a bunch of guys injured at once, and maybe that had something to do with they had a real bad loss in Nashville. That's about the only bad game I think that they've played. But they've been okay. To me, and I've said this before, I just think it's going to be very interesting to see if they can keep up that frenetic pace that essentially won them the Stanley Cup last year. They were just so much faster than everybody. But they only did that from January on. So can they do that now for a full season after having played into June? You know, I think that's going to be the big question mark. They've got maybe enough young players that they can perhaps, give certain guys nights off. I don't know if they'll do that or not, but I think that would be a smart way to proceed, to stagger some nights off. The NBA certainly, does that pretty well. Maybe no one better than the San Antonio Spurs over the past couple of seasons with their aging roster, So, maybe that's the kind of a template that Mike Sullivan can follow. I think they're going to have to find a way to keep those legs fresh, though, because it's going to be hard to repeat what they did, especially the way they did it.
In fact, it's a little more so than that. You mentioned with Crosby, the World Cup of Hockey. A lot of the Pens played in the World Cup of Hockey, so it's an extra few weeks. You know, that gap for them was much shorter than everybody else.
Absolutely, and that is probably comparable to the Stanley Cup playoffs as far as intensity goes.
So
it isn't like that they were just playing some, skating through some regular season games. That's some pretty intense hockey against some, top-level competition,
right.
Obviously.
Exactly. You mentioned the Spurs. My only complaint about what the Spurs, what they do is this, and I would relate it to the Penguins. If I'm the commissioner of the NBA, which I'm not, he's exponentially smarter than I am, and he's proven it repeatedly. But I would, my suggestion to them would be, if you want to rest them, do it at home. Okay? Don't, the one appearance that you make, for example, let's take Crosby and the Penguins. Say it's the only appearance they make at Edmonton. Right?
Right.
I'm going to rest guys tonight. All right. These people in Edmonton deserve a chance to see people play. Rest them at home or you've got 41 of these.
I'm 100% behind you there.
This is just a general point. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but
no, I think you're 100% right. I don't know. I don't even know if Mike Sullivan's going to approach it that way.
Right.
But that's just as much a Greg Popovich thing as it is anything. Pop's another one of those guys that you try to tell him to do something. I don't want to be the one guy who makes that suggestion. But I do agree with you 100%. The NBA seems to do that more than other leagues. I guess, in baseball, you're going to give a guy, there's 162 games. If they're at your place, they're there for the entire weekend, usually, or for 3 or 4 days, so it's a little different.
LeBron James took 2 weeks off last year.
Right.
Okay.
It's a different world every which way you look at it. The NBA is just,
That is so true. It is a different world. What do you think about tonight?
Well, this is the kind of a game that historically, and it's unfair to throw Pat Narduzzi into that mix of the last six or seven Pitt coaches, but this is the kind of game that historically Pitt has dropped. They've got themselves in a good position with a good opportunity in front of them, a national TV game, could be at least somewhat of a captive audience, certainly a captive college football audience. This is the kind of game that they've dropped over the years. So they did this last year, right about this time of year. They were 6-1 this time of year going into a Halloween weekend game with North Carolina, tied for first place in the ACC Coastal. They lost that game. Now, that was a good North Carolina team. It wasn't necessarily a bad loss, but then they dropped 4 out of their last 6 last year. And they're in a very similar position, a daunting schedule in front of them. They've got away games at Clemson and Miami back-to-back after this. So, this is a great opportunity for Pitt to get themselves right back into the conversation, but historically they've not been able to capitalize. Let's see if Pat Narduzzi can do that.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Tony. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Great to have him on with us every week. Of course, Steelers have a bye week. You'll hear them, of course, on 100.9 The Valley. Meanwhile, Eagle 107 has the Eagles. They've got the Cowboys coming up this weekend. That will be a terrific matchup. Finally, a game you really want to watch. That should be really good. And, of course, you can hear it on Eagle 107 with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick. And speaking of Eagle 107, besides Sealands Grove tonight, they will have also tomorrow at 11:45 with 11:15 airtime with Doug Birdsong and Kevin Herr, the game at Charleston Southern. Bucknell and Charleston Southern tomorrow. Bucknell coming off that great win over Lafayette. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow. Penn State football tomorrow, noon kickoff, 10:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK from Ross Aid Stadium. Looking forward to that. We'll come back next half hour. Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football, coming up. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us in today's show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. It's time to stock up for the weekend. You may be going to a Halloween party this weekend. Maybe you're hosting one. You need to stock up. We can come up with all sorts of reasons to stock up for the weekend. Brewers Outlet's the place to do it. And again, best in imports, domestics, microbrews. What a selection they have. Their store's really well laid out. Easy to navigate, plenty of help to get the cases of the car with plenty of free parking. On top of it, they have wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register, and the pickle bar is second to none. Corey knows I love the dills. He knows I love the barrels. We were at a Penn's Tavern. He brought pickles over. It was specifically for me, which I thought was cool. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate that. And very proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Let's get to this day in sports history, 1961. Construction began on Municipal Stadium for the New York Mets, later to be named Shea Stadium. 1993, Ron Francis of the Pittsburgh Penguins became only the 38th player in the history of the National Hockey League to achieve 1,000 career points. A great player he was. Very understated, but just great. 1994, the NFL Management Council and the NFL Players Association announced an agreement for the formulation and implementation of the most comprehensive drug and alcohol policy in years. And in 1997, the NBA announced that they had hired the first women to officiate a major league all-male sport. The women, Dee Cantor and Violet Palmer, are still officiating today. Time now to bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice of Purdue football, Tim Newton. And Tim, you and I we agree on many things, and one of them we agree on is we've never really been big on firings in the middle of a season. Yet you were telling me earlier that you felt that, well, you know, maybe in this case, maybe it was something that at this stage it had to be done. Why is that?
Well, it was a difficult situation, Steve, for a lot of people here. Daryl Hazel was in the fourth year of a six-year contract, and his record in the first 3 years was 6-30, and that's not good. So you were at a point here in year four that you were going to have to make a decision. Either we're going to extend Daryl and see if he can coach his way out of this, or you're going to have to make a change. The board of trustees and the president here decided that the athletic director, Morgan Burke, who has been here for more than two decades, he was going to retire in June of 17. And basically what they did is they accelerated that, and they hired a new athletic director, and a guy named Mike Bobinski from Georgia Tech. And he just took over in August. And the reason they brought him in when they did and the timing of this was they wanted him to make the decision on what was going to happen with the football program. So you knew basically that this was going to be an audition year for Daryl. It was either going to be we're going to take off and try to take this thing in another direction, or you're going to have to make the change. And after the non-conference, you're at 2-1. Things were going okay, and then you go to Maryland that first conference game, and you just get waxed. 50-7 was the score. You know, the rushing yardage was 400-10. It was just an embarrassment. They almost pulled the trigger after the game, but they decided to let it ride for another week, and then Purdue goes over to Illinois and wins a very emotional game in overtime. And then they come back for homecoming the next week, and they're down 35-7 at the half. And I think at that point, Mike decided that this was not going to get better. It was not going to change. And rather than go through the week by week, is he going to stay, is he going to go, are they going to pull the trigger, he decided, hey, we've got half the season left that we can try to salvage for this football team, maybe another voice in the locker room, maybe something that will jolt them, will help them with these last six games. And then we can basically be honest and open as we go out there and say, hey, we're looking for a new coach. So I think that's why they did it. Now, whether it's going to work and whether it's the right decision, I guess time will tell. But that's as I can tell, the reason why they did the change mid-season, which I've never been a part of and frankly don't want to be a part of again.
Right, I understand that. I want to get to David Blau. Give us an idea where he's really progressed, because Purdue is number one in the Big Ten in the pass offense.
They are, and it doesn't really feel like it here, because as we look, of course, we get a chance to see every game, and until last week we got to see every practice, although they've closed those now. David's had an okay year, but I wouldn't say he's had a great year. For every 300-yard passing game, we can point out some mistakes that he's made, and he's thrown a lot of interceptions. I will say this. He's done a much better job probably than he did last year of staying calm and playing within the offense. I think it's a much simpler offense. They went from John Shoup, who ran a really complicated scheme that early, it seemed like nobody could understand. Terry Malone has taken over this year as the offensive coordinator, and it's a much more simplified attack, and I think that everybody seems to be on the right page. David has one thing he does very well. He spreads the ball around.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one guy that you can say, hey, if we can take this guy away. D'Angelo Yancey leads the team in receptions, but I wouldn't say he's necessarily a go-to guy. They've used the tight ends a lot more, which is not surprising, because before Malone was here, he was the tight ends coach with the Saints.
Right.
Jimmy Graham, you know, they kind of thought that was a good idea to throw him the football, and so they've implemented that here. But I think David has he can make some tight throws that make you go, wow, and then the next play you go, wow.
Yeah.
where was he throwing that football?
Yeah, the wow versus whoa moment.
Yeah, exactly. And he hasn't, the other thing, Steve, he hasn't had much of a run game.
No.
And so
it's only 120 yards a game.
Oh, yeah. You go back to the Maryland game and even the Nebraska game last week, Nebraska didn't have to respect the run at all. And by the fourth quarter, they're just pinning their ears back. And you know, when you play a team like a Penn State that's going to be able to rush you under normal circumstances, if you get into a one-dimensional mode, you're in deep trouble.
All right. And then defensively, what has been the domino as to why they have not been as effective stopping the run?
That's a really good question. They've given up some big, big plays. Misalignments, talent, I do think you have to consider that. They're a little bit thin up front. There are some talented players here. The problem is they don't have a lot of talented players. So once you get, you know, Big Ten football now, you're playing 60, 70. Sometimes if you play these up-tempo teams, 80 defensive snaps a game, and you can't ask these big defensive linemen to play that many snaps without losing effectiveness. And they played last week against Nebraska. Basically, they played five defensive linemen in that game, and
right.
I think those guys wore down. The secondary is very young, very inexperienced, and I think we've seen a lot of cases with the safeties in particular coming down and heading to the wrong hole, trying to fill the wrong gap, and they watch a guy go the other way by him for 60 or 70 yards. So they have not been able to hold the point very well. Teams have gotten to the outside pretty successfully on them. So a lot of different things. It's a combination of a little bit. They've had some injury problems. Jake Replogle has missed the last couple of games.
Right.
Juwan Bentley missed a couple of games. So when you've got, you're on the bubble in terms of your talent to begin with. You're going down to your second stringers, and now you've got some inexperience on the back end that can't cover up when those guys up front do get beat or make a mistake. That's a bad recipe. And the other thing with the defense is, besides not being able to stop the run, they haven't been able to get off the field on third down.
Right.
So that's been a problem, too.
Tim, what worked against Illinois?
What worked is Illinois helped us a little bit.
Yeah.
They were able to throw the ball in that game pretty well. Blau had a very good game. And I do think that, you know, under Darrell Hazel, they had their moments where they played with great emotion and great intensity. I go back to the Nebraska game here last year where they won that game. And I think maybe the players knew that Darrell was coaching for his job that day, and it all came together. And it seemed in that series, I will say, and I don't know how many years in a row now, the road team always wins. So last year, Illinois came in and waxed Purdue, and I think Purdue now has won the last three times they've gone over to Champaign. So you want to play that one away from home.
That's amazing. In the game against Nebraska, they went for it four times on fourth down, threw a halfback option pass off a flip pass from Blau to Jones.
Yep.
Ran a couple of reverses, ran a fake punt. Is this all part of, look, we're just going to let it fly? Is that the impression you got?
Absolutely. In fact, before the game, Jared Parker, the interim coach, said, we're going to let it rip. And he wasn't kidding. Now, he did say today, he said, we won't run a the plan is not to run a trick play the first play on Saturday because, you know, 16 seconds in, they were down 7-0. The double pass that you talked about, Markell Jones threw it right to the open linebacker, and then they ran a touchdown on their first play from scrimmage. Yeah, they're going to play that way the rest of the way. I think one of the reasons you asked why they made the change, and I tried to explain that, but I think the reason they went to Jared Parker in particular, from a personality standpoint, he's probably about 180 degrees from Daryl Hazel, who was a very stoic, very calm. Jared's a 35-year-old guy that acts all the time, kind of like his hair is on fire, and he's a real genuine person. The players, I think, respond to him. He gave an impassioned speech Friday night in the hotel, talking about his upbringing in Eastern Kentucky. And the reports were that a lot of the guys were in tears, that he really connected with them. I think he's a genuine guy. I think they sense that. And he's going to coach that way. They're not going to hold anything back. Basically, he knows this may be the only 6 weeks in his life he gets to be a head coach. And he said, I'm not going to leave anything on the table. So I can't tell you what you'll see Saturday, but I think you'll see probably a little bit more of the same of what we saw last Saturday.
It's an awesome basketball town, as you know. I don't care if it's men's basketball, women's basketball. It's an awesome basketball area. I go into Mackey. They're 14,133 almost every time I go there.
Yep.
Football-wise, what is the mood there right now? How anxious are they there for an exciting hire, something?
I think probably if I were to describe the fan base on the football side, it's frustrated. And they're in certainly a wait-and-see mode. We've had, I think, maybe our biggest attendance this year has been 41,000, and that's probably the max of what we'll get Saturday with Penn State coming in. Even though it's supposed to be a beautiful day, I think the latest forecast I saw was 72 and partly cloudy.
Wow.
First of all, Indiana's a basketball state. Let's not make any mistake
about it. No question.
And when you're struggling, and we've talked a lot in the last few years, I think, both here and at Indiana, which is a couple hours south of here, when the Colts came in here in the mid-'80s, the whole dynamic changed in terms of football because up until then, where you didn't have a pro sports team in the state, it was a big deal on Saturday to go watch the Boilermakers or go watch the Hoosiers play. Now, at that time, too, at Purdue, we were coming off the Mark Herman era where they went to bowl games and were very successful, and we were filling. That's when we set the attendance records at Ross-Ade Stadium where they brought extra seats in. Once the Colts came in, and I think people had to start to decide, hey, am I going to spend my money Saturdays on football or Sundays? And this is not—I'm not talking about the diehard alumni who are going to come no matter what. But I'm talking about the guy in Fort Wayne who's got $100 in his pocket and wants to go to a football game. Well, which place am I going to go? And I think that started to erode the fan base here a little bit. And then you went through the Leon Burnett and Fred Akers and Jim Coletto eras, which certainly didn't help. Then Tiller comes in, resurrects everything. We're filling the stadium again. Unfortunately, by the end of Joe's tenure, things had started to tail off, and then Danny Hope came in and Daryl, and now we're kind of back down on the slide. And so I think I'm interested to see which direction they go in terms of a new head coach, but I think it's got to be somebody who is dynamic, a Jared Parker type. Now, I don't know. I think he'd have to almost run the table to be considered from here on in. Mm-hmm. But I think they need to make a splash here with this hire. They need to get the fan base re-energized and so that they're not counting down the days until Mackey opens and basketball season starts. But it's been tough. It's been a tough few years here because you can't build any momentum when you don't win consecutive games. And they never won consecutive games under Daryl Hazel. They did not have a single two-game winning streak in 3.5 years. And it's really hard to get your fans to rally and get excited if you can't show that continued success week after week.
All right, two more questions. One is, I see they're going to put up lights at Ross-Ade for 2017. With the new Fox contract, ESPN, CBS contracts, plus BTN, each school will get at least more money down the road. Any plans to do anything else with Ross Aid Stadium? Which, you know, look, I was there in 99 when, it was wild and crazy. Are there any plans to do anything with the place?
There are. Well, actually, the immediate thing they're working on right now, and you'll see when you come this week, is there's a lot of construction going on. There's a new football performance complex that's being built, $65 million complex, that is between the indoor practice facility and the outdoor practice fields. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the locker rooms will be and the weight rooms and everything. And it will, it is, pardon my pun here, but it is keeping up with the Joneses in terms of the Big Ten, because you've got to have that to be competitive.
Right.
Now, you'll also see when you come into Ross Aid on Saturday, we've got what we call the, I don't know what they call it, we call it the party deck, but basically the south end zone, they've taken all the seats out. And it's basically a patio area now where they do serve alcohol.
Okay.
And frankly, the way Purdue football's been the last few years, that's been a necessity. But they serve that, and that's kind of it's a stopgap until they decide what to do with that south end zone. They're going to enclose it here eventually, and I think probably in the next couple of years they'll get started on that. So, yeah, there are plans to finish it off. The original plans were to have a huge scoreboard down at that end. Now you've got a new athletic director in, so I don't know what his vision is, but you'll be seeing a lot of changes in the Ross Aid complex, I think, here in the next 5 years.
And the final one, I'm in charge of getting the gang out on Friday night. I was given a choice between Bruno's and Town and Gown.
Bruno's.
Really?
Hands down.
Hands down, Bruno.
No question. Now, the fact that I know the guy that runs it and might get some sort of a kickback on that. Now, actually, I had my rehearsal dinner for my wedding many years ago at Bruno's, so I have a special place. But get the pizza dough.
Oh.
And the pizzas, I would highly recommend the pizza. The other thing about Bruno's is the guy that runs it is a big sports memorabilia guy. So you'll see every piece of Purdue and other sports memorabilia you can imagine down there. So
I bring Jack Hammond there. That's a big deal to him.
That would be good. And in fact, they'd probably take his picture, and you might get a free meal out of that. I'm not saying you will. I'm saying you might.
Well, first of all, okay. Guess who's paying, so it's worth the roll of the dice.
I understand that. Okay. Never up, never in, right? Never leave that putt short.
if the door is open,
absolutely.
Sign away, Hammer.
Absolutely. Tell Big O I said that should be on him.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much, Tim. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
All right, we'll see you then. Thanks, Steve.
Tim Newton, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Purdue football. You know what? Those aren't the easiest questions, interviews to do. I mean, Tim and I are friends. We've been friends for a long time. Obviously I've been through this many times. And you say yes to doing these things, especially with people that, you're friends with. And Tim, I mean, we do these interviews. They're conversations. You try to ask questions in conversations. And Tim did a great job of fielding all the questions and talking about, it's obviously a tough situation, and it's not fun for them. Now, tomorrow, Penn State will play Purdue, and every game is an entity unto itself. As you know, I've talked about that many times. And tomorrow's kickoff is set for noon. We're on WKOK beginning at 10:30 tomorrow morning with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show. Jack Ham, Derek Williams, Roger Corey, and I will be out at Ross Aid Stadium in West Lafayette for that one. Tonight, it'll be Shikellamy taking on Milton here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It'll be a 7 o'clock kick, 6:30 the airtime with Mike Ferlazzo and the coach Dick Hort. The Milton call, by the way, on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP with Steve Williams. Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brand on Eagle 107 tonight with Sealands Grove playing Southern Columbia. That should be quite a game. And, of course, on 100.9 The Valley, the Little Brown Jug game tonight. It'll be Mifflinburg against Lewisburg tonight. Essentially, that's a playoff game. Bucknell plays at Charleston Southern tomorrow. Eagle 107, 11:45 with an 11:15 airtime tomorrow with Doug Birdsong and Kevin Herr. Kevin's going to be at his son's game tonight. Emotional night. We've had fun with it this week, but in reality, it's emotional night. All right, we'll come back second hour of the show. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.